podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd first like you to go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, Funneled on Defense. Just finish this one first and then pull the car over or stop your run and go over and check the other ones out. Download all of them. And leave a 5-star review. We'd love that. But we would like to give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. I don't have a lot of sponsors that I talk about, and Dr. Dish is one of them. I believe in this machine. It is great. It has helped our team. You mention Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $400 off. That's all. That's probably the best compliment I can give. Is a lot of people approach me about being me talking about them and being sponsors on here, and Dr. Dish, I believe in them so much that that's why I do it. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It is what I would have wanted as a young 25-year-old coach. I would have wanted all of these resources, and maybe it would have helped me win a few more state titles. I don't know. But from someone that's been a nationally ranked coach and had nationally ranked teams and won that numerous state titles, this thing is everything you need to take your team to the next level. We offer a 14-day free trial because we believe in it so much. Go over and check it out, and let's head off the podcast. All right, welcome to Coach Unplugged, Bill. I think it's episode, I have no idea, oh my gosh, I was counting, it's like 3 or 4 years worth of podcasts, but anyway, like literally 3 or 4 consistent.
Yeah, you're in the 1400s or something. Yeah, 14, like that.
It's like crazy, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so Bill, I'm going to have you introduce yourself, talk about you as your journey with Hoopalytics, and I get it right. It's Hoopsalytics.
Hoopsalytics, yeah. Like Teach Hoops.
That's why I love it. I know. Yeah. I'm going to have you talk about your beginning as an entrepreneur, but more importantly as coaching, and then as a stats teacher, I love stats and I love all that kind of stuff, so that's kind of what intrigued me about this. But I'm gonna have you introduce yourself to the audience, and then we'll just deep dive into that, and I've got a laundry list of questions I got for you, so I will jump in.
Okay, I'm Bill Bettering. I'm a basketball coach, obviously. It's my 10th year coaching. Second year high school varsity level. I currently coach in Truckee, California, high school girls. And previously, and actually as part of this, my other job is as a software developer and entrepreneur. So I've started 6 companies. Hoopsalytics is my latest one. And all the companies I've done have been like computer and online and that sort of thing. And as part of the principles of running these companies, especially in the internet age, as you well know, you can kind of measure everything and make data driven decisions, right? So
right.
When you're advertising or Google AdWords, all this stuff, you can basically measure the effectiveness of what you're doing and see what works well.
You could turn off your Facebook ads when they're not working. I've done that before.
Exactly. And
when they're working, it's like the unicorn land, man. When you get that one ad and it's working, it's like, man, it's really something.
Yeah.
So explain and the other company.
So the idea was basically to take this principle of running these companies and apply it to basketball, because again, you want to make good data-driven decisions. So previous to this, the company I started in 2014 was called ZingTree. That's a company that lets you build interactive decision trees. So like call centers people in call centers would use these things. They'd kind of click their way through a decision tree. So they kind of minimize the training time and make sure everyone's giving the right spiel and that sort of thing.
Okay. I'm just thinking of an Office episode right now as he says that. So if anyone's seen the Scott Office episode, I'm thinking of that, but go ahead. I'm seeing him with that thing clicking. All right. That's very intriguing. Okay. A lot of stats in that. Yeah.
And then previous to that, I started this other company in 1997. It kind of morphed into a business that would let you record audio and video off the internet. It's called Applying Technologies. And we again, on the data-driven side, we noticed that people were, whenever we'd get a support ticket, it would cost us like $18 for every ticket. And our product was like, you know, as little as $19. So we tried to automate a lot of that stuff. And it's kind of how the Zing Tree was born. And the other cool aside is as far as being able to use Hoopsalytics and score these games, the product from my old company, I still use to record video from NFHS and that sort of thing to bring it into Hoopsalytics to do the game breakdowns. So it all kind of nicely ties together.
Well, for all the young, there's probably some young coaches listening to this, but for all the entrepreneurs, like I'll tell you a couple. We were talking about my brother before. There's a couple he invented Bendos. If you ever seen them, they're little figurines anyway. And they're like little Gumby figurines. They're called Bendos. I don't even think I have any in my office right now, but anyway, and he started a toy company. He was running a toy company. So he was doing a photo shoot. I'll tell you, this is the funny part about being an entrepreneur. And he told me this story and it's so true. So they had these wooden fire trucks and police cars and stuff built for these little plastic, I don't know, 4-inch Bendos, which they bent, the arms bent, and you could put them all over. Anyway, if you Google Bendos, you'll see it. And as he's doing it, so he hires, you know, this company to come in, and they're doing a photo shoot, and they have the young kid there with it and the parents and stuff, and he's playing with the toys. Well, guess what? He's not playing with the Bendos. He's playing with the Bendos, not the wooden toys. And initially he was going to sell wooden toys, and he goes, "Oh, I don't have to do that. I'm going to sell these plastic things I made for the wooden toys." And then that's how Bendos were invented. Yeah. Isn't it? It's like, and it's the same thing. He invented the rebound at the end of a driveway. You know, there's basically lollipops, or there's those big plastic things. Well, he invented the rebound, which has a big metal stake, and you can put it in the ground even if it's frozen, and it will bend down and come back up when the plows hit it.
Sweet.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, so basically what I'm saying is you found something. This is where Hoopsalytics was like, you probably saw something that was needed, and then, okay, yeah, I'll pivot. And, you know, that's probably that's probably part of the birth of this is you saw that and go, oh crud, something needs to happen. I don't know.
The epiphany was I read some other article about defensive accounting and using something called the Hello Sports Code, which was a $30,000 competitor to us. And I looked at this and they had a video link stats. I'll show you guys that in a little bit, but the idea is you get your box score and you can click on a number and you can see videos of all those things. So if you got 4 turnovers, you click on number 4, you see the 4 turnovers. I'm like, wow, that's super cool. I want to build that.
Right.
And then just, you know, and previously I was just using, you know, sort of a static score tracking thing. I was like, yeah, well, let's link the video together with the numbers. And then if I have all this, I can, you know, create like better in-depth analysis and see, you know, which sets are working, which players are performing and that sort of thing. And I've been working on this about a couple of years now. Have a full season of high school basketball under my belt with a lot of really cool data, which I'll share with you guys. And
So did you have any obstacles when you were building it? Like what happened? Was there a Saturday night at 3 a.m. and you go, oh crud? Because I remember my programming days is like, oh crud, like you hit a wall.
Yeah, a lot of it just trying to figure out how to upload videos. You know, we initially started with YouTube. And that was okay, although some people didn't like that. So we did like a different, a second option. And then there's some problems with that. So we actually have 3 options for uploading. We can go to Vimeo, YouTube, or regularly. Most of that stuff, like anytime you're like writing code, when you have to deal with something outside of the code that you write, there's always problems.
Yeah.
Like integration.
I'm a big fan of Vimeo.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Vimeo actually is worked pretty well. That's our default now. But we support, you know, 3 different ways to upload. And
For people that want to, if you want, for the amount they charge you and the amount they let you store on video, I mean, obviously YouTube's free, but I don't know. I like Vimeo. I think the interface is easy. I don't know. It just seems easy to me. I've been using it for a long time.
And the uploading is a lot smoother too. So
it is. But anyway, for anybody that's kind of jumping into that. So why don't you show us some stuff? Cause I know you and I have talked about a couple things off, but I'd love to.
Let me go ahead and share my screen and I'll try to talk my way through this for the people that are listening in the car.
Yeah. And so people that are listening, we'll put this, I'll put the link for the YouTube channel on the bottom for people that are listening. If you're mowing the lawn or jogging or doing something like that, I'll put this, cause sometimes it's more visual. Some people are more visual than auditory, but we'll try to explain it the best we can.
Yeah. And that's actually how I listen to your podcast too, is primarily in the car. So.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it makes me have to visualize like the X's and O's you talk about.
I know.
You should be able to see my screen. This is Hoopsalytics. So I've got a full game of full season of high school varsity here. So you can basically go either multiple games or single games. So like I'll take one of our games, for example. We do some kind of cool visualization. So this is a game that we lost. You can kind of see the running score and how we had like the little.
Which team are you, the green or the red? You're red.
We are the red. So we're Trekkie.
So you were never really up in that game. I love that. The one that you did for me recently, I love that because I could kind of tell in my head, I was going, oh, I remember when that shifted. And it's like, we were up and then we were down. It's like, I know, I do like that.
Yeah. And you can get a nice idea of the flow. And so you get, you can also see like, you know, full comparison statistics. So points per possession, a lot of people like that. Time of possession is always pretty interesting. Looking at the game that I broke down for you, you guys have a really long time of possession. You guys are very, very patient. I mean, our goals were pretty much about 14 seconds. I mean, I think you guys were like at 21 seconds per session.
Yeah, I think
like
both the team that you saw and me, the coach and I know each other so too well. And yeah, the possessions, I think, were in the mid-20s. And I love that you asked about, we play in halves, 18-minute halves.
Yeah.
So the flow is a little different. Definitely the flow is different when you play halves rather than quarters.
Yeah, I'd never seen that before. So you talk about obstacles. That was one of the things like, oh, there's a different way of running the clock.
Yeah, I don't know if we're the only state that does that. That might be something you have to think about too. But obviously, colleges do that, so it's not a big deal. But
right, yeah. And we, you know, when you set up your account, you can basically set up all kinds of different quarters and halves and time and that sort of thing.
Oh, you can set you as the person set it up.
Well, we give all the stock ones. So like most of the high schools will go 8-minute quarters.
Right.
You know, colleges are 20-minute halves. AAU is like 16-minute halves. You guys were the only 18-minute half, but you know, we just added that to the program and now it's there for you and all your competitors.
Right. Everybody in the state of Wisconsin. All right.
There you go. And so one of the cool things you can do with this particular thing is you can isolate it on a particular part of the game. So this is one where we were, you know, kind of getting slacked. So you can just isolate that and then you can get your comparison stats. So we were outscored 7-4 here. You know, and there was, you know, there were 3-for-3 from free throws, 2-for-9, 0-for-7. So you can isolate into on different parts of the game and just get the comparison stats if you want to see kind of what went wrong in a particular area. Just kind of fun.
What's the first thing you look at when you pull up a game like this? What's the first thing you look at statistically?
I usually look at the team stats. So, you know, you can basically see because one of the things that we like to do is figure out, you know, who had a good game, who had a not good game. So there's a points per possession. So PPP stands for points per possession. So what we can do is we can break down. So like, for example, when, you know, Caitlin was on the floor on offense, there were 0.6 points per possession. And then we gave up 0.64 points per possession. So she was a minus 0.04. And you can, you know, sort on all these things. So she was actually a most effective player in that game. And I think she had, you know, she's always done well against this team. You know, some of the other girls, you know, this girl, she broke her wrist. And so she was not really able to shoot very well. So you can see her offensive point possession went down a bit because of that.
Are you able to, like, am I able to figure out the best? Could you tell me the best five girls on the court
for you in this game?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can switch to, from players to lineups. So if we go to lineups, for example, these are the different arrangements that we had on there. And,
okay.
And you can do the same thing with the points per possession. Like so this lineup here, I think this was kind of more of a garbage time lineup, but like this one here, you know, they were actually plus, and they were plus one. And you can also amortize this over 32 minutes too. So if like if a particular lineup had played the whole game, this is what the outcome would have been. Obviously, this is a small sample size, which is why that's a big number. But no, this lineup, had I kept them in, assuming they never ever got tired, that would have been the winning lineup. Or maybe this one here.
Right. It's hard because I think sometimes your brain thinks somebody, I mean, I've said this before. I have people on my bench keeping stuff because sometimes you think something's happening and it's not.
Right. Yeah. And the numbers are kind of a good way to either validate your assumptions or prove your assumptions wrong.
Right.
As you go.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, you know, everyone loves offense. And so, you know, above and beyond the analytics, you can give everything the eyeball test. So let's say, you know, we'll go back to our players here. So, you know, Tess had 3 turnovers. So we can click on her 3 turnovers and we can see, you know, we can actually watch video of her turnovers. So here's one here. So bad pass and go to the next one, et cetera. So, you know, you can look at 3 turnovers, like were they, you know, were they horrible? Yes. Yeah. So yeah, that's a legit turnover, right? And yeah, hopefully
so that makes not watching those. So does it? Are you able to let's say you wanted to? Is it make film sessions easier? And how does it do that? Like that would be a big part for me, I think.
Yeah. So what you can do with your film sessions as you're scoring, let me go back to our games. You can basically mark different clips as part of a film session. So if we go to games here. And so you can see we have clips and comments. So if we go to, like this one had a lot of good stuff here. So basically, you can say, have different people add comments, some coaches, players, et cetera. Can, you know, allow your players to comment if you want. And then you can also say, are they about everybody, a particular person? So if you've got, you know, a particular girl you want to sit down with or boy and look at their clips, you can. And then you can just, go through. So like this team, so we're in red here. You can see how this girl is sagging here. So they obviously scouted us. This was one of our favorite sets where we high post it and this girl was super athletic and she could blow by everybody, but notice how she's sagging here. So that was one of the comments that we had, for example. So I would, you know, sit down with our girls afterwards and sometimes it's just for future reference or other times it's for things that they can do better. And you can make, thumbs up, thumbs down. Like in this one, number 13 is like dribbling way too much, right? So
right.
You know, we don't really want that. And you know, you see the comments here. And one more. So now we're trying to, you know, get our high post ISO. But there's no driving lane for her because the girl on the other side is wrong, in the wrong position. So stuff like that is, you know, super helpful. I remember when this is the second full season I've done this with. First year, I did this as a freshman boys coach. Went through afterwards, and there was a coach on the other team who had like a 30-year D1 coach who was somehow coaching freshman boys, and he had all these crazy inbound plays and sideline plays. It was like, okay, I got to remember these. So I can mark all these things and come back to him and like steal stuff from him.
No, I like how you can like, so let's say I have a play that's called double fist or something. So I love that you can kind of go into the program and then when you're breaking it down, you can label things, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So, for example, there's a coaching stat. So I can take like all the games of the year, for example, I can get coaching stats. And so we've got our different sets. We've got our different blob plays or baseline inbounds plays. So I can like click through that and I've labeled all the different ones we have so I can see how the outcomes go. So we've got this one called Jordan, which basically everybody runs. But you know, for our outcome, it's 0.67 points per possession. It's about average with everything else we did. But again, I can go through and I can see, okay, let's see what the successes look like. And so you've probably seen this play before a gazillion times. Right? And there's the
it's America's play. I'm gonna reference it as America's play for people who are listening. It's basically the inbounder throws it in. You can run it out of a box or a low and four, and then the inbounder goes same side corner or opposite corner. I call it America's play because you see, it's that or screen the screener, probably the most common baseline out of bounds plays.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually didn't do much screen the screener last year. So, but looking at our competitors, they had some really good success with screen the screener. So we're going to add that in.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to defend if you don't work on it. Like if you defensively, if you don't work on it, that's why, especially at the youth level and the AAU level, you tend to see it a lot. All right, so let's say I get this and I'm playing this summer or I play next fall and I got a game and I kind of set it up and you kind of walk me through it. How long for me to break down a game? The first one, and then by the end of the season, like so from November is probably different than March, but give me an idea of what you think the range is to break the game down.
Yeah, and a lot of it depends on how much detail you want to add to it. You can add shot charts, which I think are really valuable. There's also rebound charts. And then you can categorize your plays, your turnovers, or decide not to. So, for a high school game, once you're up and running and comfortable, it's probably about an hour and a half to break down a game. And pretty much every good coach out there is watching film anyway.
Right.
So you're basically watching the film as you break it down. There are services out there that'll break the games down for you, but they don't give you nearly the level of detail and
right.
stats that you want.
I tell young coaches too, it's like this is part of your apprenticeship. If you want to be a good coach, you got to break film down. The last time Coach and I were talking, I was talking about my two VCRs. I'm cleaning my room right now at school and starting to throw VCR tapes out because I don't even know if I could buy a VCR anymore. But anyway, but part of it is you just learn so much. You learn so much by doing that. Like,
exactly.
In the old days, I was doing this with a piece of paper and a clipboard and I'm getting a lot of the same things, but then I had to go do the statistics, the point proofs, all that kind of stuff. Longhand because there wasn't something 30 years to do that, or at least that was affordable.
Again, also having it connected to the video is really nice too, because the numbers are one thing, but you can click the number and watch all those events like assists or turnovers or rebounds. Because kids, you see the number, it's one thing, but you actually see the video behind the numbers and it's like, oh yeah, I did have 7 turnovers and there they are. And likewise, I think it's a great way to model with my parents too. Like if parents are wondering why Johnny's not playing very much, it's like, well, come look at this and here's the numbers when he was on the floor and here's his 7 turnovers. And it's like, oh my God, Johnny really did have 7 turnovers.
Johnny's open for a reason is usually what I have to say to the parents. Like it's Johnny's open because Johnny can't shoot. That's why Johnny's open. It's like, well, Johnny's open all the time. He's open, yes, because they're not defending him. Like, I'm going to defend him either. So you wrote something. You wrote something in one of the emails you sent me about free throws. Like, was it?
Oh yeah.
What was that?
Okay, so this is pretty cool. So, I've seen this on different different levels, where if we can also track rebounds, so you can basically. Say we can, like we'll show all rebounds, but on free throws. So if you look at the rebound location on free throws, you'll see they're predominantly over on the left-hand side. So we can also look at opponents, kind of the same deal. There's a lot that come over here. And that was a really interesting little epiphany. And I have a theory why that happens.
I'd love to hear that because the sample's big enough. The sample's big enough too. He's not showing me like 3 dots. He's showing me a sample that's big enough that you can probably draw a conclusion. There's probably a regression line. Anyway, I won't get into the statistics about it.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
But I think it's probably primarily more at the less skilled levels. But I think what's happening is when the kids are lining up on the free throw line, they're basically having their body right even with the nail, right with the middle of the free throw, you know, right even with the basket.
Right.
And, you know, of course, your shot is coming from the elbows. You're a little bit offset. So I think what's happening when they're missing the free throws is they're hitting the inside of the rim and they're bouncing off predominantly to the left-hand side of the floor. So they're not lining up properly.
Have you done any diving into that with higher levels? That'd be interesting.
Not yet. We actually have a full season of San Francisco College that we're going to analyze too. But I've seen this for both, you know, our varsity girls' opponents, us, and also for a freshman boys' team. So anyway, probably a coaching point for all the coaches out there: make sure your kids are lining up with their shooting elbow on the nail rather than their body in the middle of the free throw, and you'll get slightly better results.
Hey everybody! I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Some great tidbits coming up after the break here. But I want to talk about Hoopsalytics a little bit. You know, it's an affordable, I can tell you that, pro level stats and analytics system for anybody. And like I've said, and I've told Coach this a couple times off the air, it's everyone should be using or breaking film down. You know, there's lots of things that do it for you and are very expensive, but it provides you with all sorts of statistics, which we're talking about in the podcast, but they're coaching stats. They're ones that, you know, talk about schemes and talk about whether things work versus man or zone. And then, you know, coach kind of can sees how it works with the funnel down defense and all of those things. But it's a great way to, to look at your team, to break your team down. And obviously as a stats teacher, it's a great thing. It's the same system as pros use or high level high school teams use. And you know, there's a special deal. You go, I'll put the link down below. But it's Hoopalytics/Peach. There's a discount code in there. Teach22 will get you 25% off, which will be good. You'll get a free game. You can test it out. You can kind of kick the tires, kind of like in teachhoops.com, and I think you'll enjoy it. So go over and check it out. You know, we only endorse products we really like and have used, and this is a great one. So go over and check it out, and let's head back to the podcast.
Interesting. So you really want to put your better rebounder on the left block, probably.
Yeah, or what you could do is have like sort of run a little screenplay. If you're if your team is shooting, just screen the one person on the right side and have the other person come around to the left to try to get the offensive rebound.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd love to actually do that deep dive into that college team. That'd be interesting to see if that was if there's a tendency, because you know if it's substantial, like maybe 53-47, or I mean if it's, you know, statistically significant would be the question. Is it, interesting. I've never heard that. All right. There's your golden nugget for people listening. something to think about. Something I've not thought about, which is unique, that I usually think about most of this kind of stuff. So let's talk about funnel down and how that kind of came into our discussion when we started talking about that. Cause this is, I think this is very intriguing to me.
Yeah. So what you're seeing on the screen now is our shot chart. So we've charted by 2,400 shots during the course of the season. And actually, before we get to funnel down real quick, one of the cool things you can do with this is you can filter on distance. So, you know, analytically minded, I hate the long two. So what you can do with Hoopsalytics is you can basically say, okay, show me all the two-point shots greater than a certain distance. So we're showing everything outside of 16 feet. And then you can see either the team or individual players, how they're doing. So like my one girl was 1 for 15 on long twos. So, you know, we got to a point in the season, it's like, you know, don't shoot that shot anymore. You know, I hate telling people not to shoot a shot, but I feel pretty good about,
yes,
you know, if you're 1 for 15 from long range, you know, don't do it. so I think that's pretty helpful because, you know, again, you know,
can you go the other way? Can you go, you can pull those dots together too or not? Or you go one way or the other?
What do you mean as far as
the, for the green? Yeah. Over there. Can you do from 12 feet to 21 feet?
Sure. Yeah. So you can go from 12 to 21. Again, 2-point shots are always going to be inside of a particular range.
Right.
Yeah, 12 to 21. So, cause you kind of want to, you know, like when we get to funnel, talking about funnel down, you want to exclude like the layups and that sort of thing.
Right.
But you can also, again, do details. So it's like, okay, let's look at the catch and shoots from 12 to 21 feet. And how did they do? You know, so 24%. One of the other epiphanies I had about my team this year is we were horrible at jump shots, like 8 for 73, so 11%. I mean, even like closer in, we were still pretty bad. 10%, you know, 0 for 10, 0 for 6, 1 for 13. I think at one point in the season, we were 1 for 38, and we started working on it and practiced a little bit more. And because I guess I took over from another coach, and I guess he just never had the girls practice jump shots.
well, you won't be very good at it if you don't practice it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we took a lot of them, and obviously most of them didn't go in. And our opponents were, you know, a lot better, like 25%. So, again, that's the stuff that you discover as you kind of chart this stuff out and start playing with it and analyzing, especially in the off season.
Well, that's where it kind of funneled down came too. It's like, I just want to keep people, you know, we run it different ways where we don't let them reverse it, or we trap in the short corner, or we keep them on a side. But I think, and what happened is I started seeing things that look where they're hitting the shots, look where they were killing us, and look where they weren't killing us. And that's why I wanted to, you know, it changed tempo, but it also came back to the shot chart thing, I think, where it's like they just weren't getting the things that you thought they would be getting.
Yeah. And so I've been really interested in that concept of the funnel down concept of forcing everything to the side. So, what you can do with the Hoopsalytics is you can mark off a particular area of the court and see what the percentages are. So if we take stuff that's, this is the alley, right? The middle part,
right?
The terminology is. Yeah. So the alley, we're 24%. And then we can exclude shots and we were 20%.
Right.
So, and again, if you make it a little bit narrower, if you just do like paint pointed, it's even more pronounced. So 27% in the alley and then excluded, we're 19%.
Why do you think that is? I have a couple theories about why I think people don't shoot as well.
For one reason, I think if you're shooting straight on, you're more likely to get the lucky bounce than if you're shooting from an angle.
Yeah, I think it's a perception thing too. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how the brain works, but I think those angles, especially, you know, that mid, when you don't have the backboard, I think it's a depth. Maybe it's a depth perception. Something along those effects, especially at the lower levels, you know. And then, to be honest with you, you can be behind the backboard. Like, I find that is the perfect spot to push people. Like,
right, yeah,
because it's the no man's land. Like, yeah. That's why when they get it on the side, we funnel them to that kind of that no man's land. You know, even NBA guys can't do anything back there. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't shoot over the backboard. So it causes that. I think that's one of the things that I saw analytically from the funnel down too. And we, to be honest with you, cause we came out of COVID last year and we didn't play. We did it more out of a zone than we did it out of man. We didn't play much man funnel this year. We played a lot of zone. Just because the rotations are a little bit easier, it's a little bit easier to recover and to push into that side.
And we're going to run probably a matchup zone funnel down next year. Because to that point, I think the man-to-man rotations are a little bit more complicated. And you know, zones, like, you pretty much know where everybody is, and just simplifies it a lot. There's other reasons we want to do that too. But.
Yeah. So the chart you have up now, can I tell, is there any way to differentiate the left side of the right side percentage wise or not? Probably not.
Sure. Yeah, no, so you can mark whatever you want. So, so for example, if we redid this, let's say we want, you know, 2-point shots, just like from here.
Yeah. And I'd want to mark up
whatever you want. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So like 22% from the left side. And then, and again, this is kind of rough, but, 18% from the right side. It's kind of interesting. I don't know.
That is interesting. I would have, that's usually not the case.
Yeah, and then if we look at 2-point shots, so 17% from here.
Okay.
And then if we look from here, again, these are outside of a certain range.
Right.
Yeah. So that looks like the right side is worse than the left side.
Yeah. And usually that's not the case, especially at the lower levels. There's more, obviously, more right-handed people. You know, usually you push them left, it helps. But that's why
The kids can't dribble left. But I think it's harder to shoot a jump shot going right than it is going left, at least for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Yeah, that's a substantial percentage points. That's that's 5 or 6 points. Did you find anything as far as rebounding and stuff that you were able to use effectively, other than the kind of the free throw thing?
Yeah, the free throw thing was the most effective. You know, obviously, you know, this is still a work in progress. The next thing I want to do is correlate the shots to the rebounds. So, for example, when you're shooting like from the left hand corner, you know, they say that most of the rebounds go opposite, but it'd be kind of cool to actually really do that with real data, and especially at the level we're at. You know, apparently 70% of the rebounds go weak side,
right?
From what I'm told. But just being able to see that, and again, it might even vary from shooter to shooter too. There might be some.
And you, I don't know if you can find. I've looked for recent statistics on that kind of stuff, and most of it's pretty old.
Yeah,
some of it's pre-3-point line. Some of the statistics I can find on that. Yeah. Well, and to be honest with you, rebounding is one of those things that, you know, if you watch the Bulls documentary, Rodman would just have somebody come in and miss shots so he could learn how to read the bounces. So there's a little bit of a knack to that, but you're right. It's like, how often does someone shoot that elbow? Not even the elbow, maybe the wing shot, and it bounces right back to him. It never bounces back to him. You know, it bounces middle, it bounces weak side, you know, it bounces. No one's really done that deep dive. That would be an interesting thing to dive into this on, to look at a little bit more, especially for my team, I think.
Okay, I'll get started working on the update.
Yeah, one update and boom, there you go. I know you asked a question in your notes too about screening and stuff in the funnel, Don. I switch everything. I just think it's easier.
Okay.
Even if we're in a matchup.
That sort of makes sense. And I guess, we want to run a 1-3-1 funnel down with the matchup zone.
Okay.
And so I think that's going to work well. The number one, it also, you know, because we've been kind of thin. So the girls, I don't think you're going to have to work as hard. They still have to work hard on defense, but less so than man-to-man. And number two, I think it sets you up nicely for transition. You know, if you've got your two speedy guards, you know, kind of out front, they kind of know where to go right away.
Right.
People are in position. And you know, a lot of the teams we play, especially, like in one of your podcasts, you said, you know, you want to arrange your team so you can beat the best team in the league. And the best teams in our league play man-to-man. And
right.
They're really good at offensive man-to-man because they play defensively. You know, so the matchup zone kind of looks like a man-to-man.
Right.
I think it will
change the tempo on them enough that I think it will help you a lot. I do. I always tell coaches, when they're zigging, you zag, man. I mean, don't like, literally, I'm in Wisconsin. You don't think with the Bennetts and the Ryans, that man to man is in pack line and like, holy crud, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like gospel in Wisconsin. Well, that's why 20 years ago, I'm going to zone some because everyone's playing man. And all of a sudden, you know, who was doing it last night? Well, Golden State was doing it last night against the Mavs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of cool. And they went box and one, too, for a little bit.
They went box and one. It's like, okay, so people laugh and you run. Like, what are you talking about? The Golden, the everyone's doing it. So no.
Yeah, the Heat do it a little bit, not as much as the Warriors do, but the Warriors are doing it, and they're actually doing it pretty effectively.
They're doing it very well. They're well coached. Kerr's a great coach.
Yeah. And so the other cool thing about, speaking of matchup zone, is Kerr played at Arizona for Lou Olson.
Right.
And he's like the originator of the matchup zone. So he took a lot of those principles and applied it to what the Warriors do, which is, again, super cool.
And to be honest with you, they talk about, just like the Major League Baseball is king of statistics. It's the exact same thing. You don't think those NBA, they know when they tie their shoelace at the NBA level. What are you talking? I mean, it's everything.
The tracking they have is insane, because they track each player's movement every like 10th of a second. So they know that, you know, Curry runs 6 miles during a game, for example.
Right.
And they can tell, you know, how far the defender is away from every shot, you know, to the inch.
No, it's crazy. I thought it was funny the other day. I don't know which games you were watching, but God, it must have been the Celtics Heat one. And one of the Celtics guys was standing on the bench, and one of the Heat guys went to defend him.
Oh, funny.
Like, because he thought he was on the court and he thought he was playing and he wasn't. And it just, I saw it on Twitter. It just threw everything off. The guy got an open three on the other side. Because someone was open, because those guys stand half the game sometimes.
And actually, same thing happened with the Warriors and the Mavs. There was a guy in the Mavs that was wearing a white T-shirt, and everyone else on the bench was in the visitors' blues, and Curry passed the ball to the guy on the bench. And then the referees had a discussion with him next time. I was like, you can't wear that shirt. It's like, yes, I can. It's like, no, you can't.
Yes, I can. it looks like a thing. All right. Are there any other key points? And I'll put a link for people listening and stuff and in the car. I'll put links down below so you can get connected with the coach. And you know, you can try this out. This is, like I said, you can try this out. Coach will even set up a call with you and walk you through some stuff. You know, you can break a game, all that kind of stuff down. You can see all the stuff. I think you have some examples. I was looking at lunch today too.
If you go to hoopsalytics.com, there's no and in there. It's just hoops, ALYTICS.com. Yeah. There's a couple of demo teams. There's a college demo and high school demo, and you can basically play with the stats and analytics and that sort of thing and see what it looks like and, you know, explore all
the way I'm going to tell you, that's the way I learn. I got to go and you know, somebody could have told me when I started my YouTube channel how it worked, but I needed to figure out where everything was just by playing. I'm like, that's just the way I learned. But I'll put all that down, and
you get a one game, a free one game trial. So you can take one of your games, upload it, score it. And, you know, it really shows the value when you, you know, when you have it with your own players and teams and that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, that's the kicker, is it just, it, yeah. I mean, I, coach and I were talking about the one game I did, and it's like the two coaches that know each other. And it was like nobody made many mistakes, but it's like, that's when you learn, like, you're, oh, remember that, and oh, there, and that happened. And, all those.
Yeah. And your game was really interesting. I mean, your team had 4 turnovers in the whole game, which is remarkable.
Right.
And then the other team, I did a shot chart, and they had like one, like in the 45-degree angle where they were like super hot. And that's probably one of the weak spots of the zone defense in general, when they're reversing and getting to that place. So,
yeah, they're getting to the spot where it was open. I know. Yeah. It's like, it's those crazy little things too. And the great thing about this is it's like, and if you like it, personally, to me, it's affordable. You know, that's what I love about it. It's just, you know, you're not charging somebody $6,000 for Synergy or something else, you know, all these other things that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to Sports Code, which the colleges are paying like 30 grand a year for.
Right.
And you can get this for, you know, 99, and I'll give you a discount code too that you can share with your people, which will make it like 79. So, you know, again, we're trying to get as many people using this as possible and getting feedback, and because there's lots of things you can track. You can actually custom track things, like for your games, we started custom tracking post entries, Right. Ball reversals, because I know they're pretty important for you.
Yeah. So,
you know, when you look at your game, you can see, hey, we have 15 post entries, and you can watch them and see how they did, and, you know,
how many passes were out of the posts and all those kind of things. No,
yeah. I mean, you can basically track anything you want. We give you some stock things, but if you're interested in, you know, ball screens away or missed box outs or whatever, all that stuff.
You can dives track on the floor, you could probably do something like that.
Yeah, or, exactly.
You know, hustle stuff, tough that most stuff doesn't have. That's what I love, you know. Things that I think an underanalyzed statistic is ball touches, like literally tips and times you touch the ball.
You mean like deflections?
Deflections or tips or anything where you get a hand on the ball. It can be on the floor. It can be, you know, a deflection. It can be a tip. It can be even on a rebound. You know, I generalize them as a big category more than just deflections, because it's not a deflection if you get up and get your hand on a rebound and stuff, but it's a ball touch. It's like the more ball touches you have, the better off you are on the other end.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, deflections are actually one of the stock stats that you can track.
Yeah. And I think I know what the number one high school statistic is to decide whether you're going to win a game. What do you think it is?
What do I think? You think it is, or
no? What do you think it actually is?
Well, probably effective field goal, or maybe offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I would say effective field goal percentage or turnovers at the high school level.
Turnovers is another one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's turn. I mean, from someone that's done it. I mean, again, purely observational, but I think it's. I think effective field goal percentage is probably maybe one. But 1A would be turnovers. If you turn the ball over, you can't win. Like, I mean, you better be a lot better than the other team if you turn the ball over.
Yeah, there's this one thing that you'll see, you know, when you're looking at stats called the four factors. There's a guy named Dean Oliver that wrote a book in like 2004.
Great.
He basically
book.
Analyzed a lot of games and he, you know, said, okay, these are the four things that determine whether you're going to win a game or not. And I think, offensive rebounds, effective field goal, turnovers, and I think trips to the free throw line was the other one. So right. If you win all four of those, you're like 98%.
Yeah, you don't lose.
Sure, you're going to win the game. Yeah.
And the free throw ones, a part of that is aggressiveness, I think. You know, I've thought about, like, you tend to get to the free throw line when you're the aggressor. You're attacking.
True.
You know, you're pushing, you're... You know, if you're just shooting threes and not, you're not going to shoot many free throws. Like, so I think it's an interesting, but it's, is it Basketball on a Napkin? Is that the name of the book? I think it is.
Basketball on Paper.
Paper. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually with one of your links from the newsletter, that's one of the books that you have on your Amazon store.
Yeah. I love that. I love that book. I love that book. Yeah. It's deep though. That's like you gotta be a little bit of a, you gotta be, yeah. I could send you an article that's easier to read than that book. That book's,
I haven't gotten all the way through it, but I've gotten to the meat of it. And, but yeah, again, if you're a numbers guy like you and I, it's all this stuff is super interesting. And again, it's just tweaking your schemes and your practices and everything. You know, it's the Moneyball approach.
It is. You know? It is. It's Moneyball. That's what I say. It's Moneyball for basketball. It is.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, Coach. We'll do
this. And actually, just one other quick shout out. I mean, as far as Funnel Down goes, I bought your Funnel Down package, and it's going to be super helpful. I mean, the concepts are pretty simple, but just being able to figure out how to teach it properly.
Yeah, the breakdown drills
anywhere else.
Yeah, the breakdown drills are great. The sequential stuff. Because to be honest with you, so for people listening, that it's hard for them to know that someone's going to, when you funnel hard to the baseline and you funnel and you don't let them reverse, it's like a 10 degree rotation of hips that it's unbelievably hard for them to get. But once they get it, it freaks teams out. And what would be interesting from a statistical standpoint would be when we ran it well, we didn't always turn people over, but we sped them up and they took quicker shots. Yeah, it would be interesting to see that time thing. But when we were tracking it, it's like, you know, rather than a 18% 18 second possession, they were at like 12 to 10
which means we were getting them to go faster and they were taking shots that they didn't necessarily want. Will they hit some of them? Yes. But they're, it's again, like you saying, out of going into the zone rather than the man, it's getting them out of that comfort zone, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And they see that baseline wide open. It's like, oh boy, I can go hit that shot.
No, it's like opening the door.
There's the center. Yeah.
It's the Willy Wonka of them. Like, you see, you're opening the door to the candy store. And especially at my level, when you tell them go ahead and they see a lane, it's hard for them to pass that lane up. Like,
exactly.
It's like, here I go. It's like, and then, well, and you watch, if you've watched NBA, it's like giving Giannis, when you give Giannis a lane, he goes, well, then guess what? Smart steps in and takes the charge, you know, and flops. And anyway, don't get me started.
Yeah. And a lot of the NBA teams are also forcing baseline too. You'll notice throws hedging and letting them go baseline and stuff.
And I talked, and I have a former player that plays for the Bucks, and he said they try to get him behind that backboard because it's a defender.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whoa, what do I do at this point? But
Even just keeping him out of the middle, and there's basically one passing angle on the side and two on the middle. So
it works so well. It works so well. Yeah. I will put a link down below. For everyone that's listening, and you can go check it out. And if you have any questions, you can email me at steve@tchoops.com. Bill, give your email too, so they can reach out to you.
Bill@hoopsalytics.com. So hoops, hoopsalytics.com.
Yep. And I'll put that down below in the show notes too.
Okay. Sweet.
All right. Thanks, coach.
This is really fun. I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Oh, we'll do it again. We'll do it again. Once I've done some fishing this summer, we'll do it again. You know, I got to get out and go fishing. All right. Thanks, coach. Sports Social Podcast Network.